The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you have handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Here's another one with a question mark at the end. Gospel of the Lord. Outside, as the days get colder and the year draws to an end, in church, here on Sundays, we also turn to the end of time, the end of days, the day of the Lord. Kind of fitting. As last week, we hear again that tomorrow is never guaranteed. We can't take life for granted for a myriad of reasons. One of these reasons is the last day, the day of the Lord, the end of the world, when God returns to judge the living and the dead, which is a justice issue. A belief that developed thousands of years ago when faithful Jews realized that if the Creator's justice didn't take place here on earth, that God would have to see to it in some way. The day of the Lord. Christians understand this as the return of Christ, the second coming, the first being in the manger. Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. The way of the cross will be seen by all as the true way. Evil and sin will be sent outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Goodness and mercy will remain forever under Christ's reign. Early Christians who were working all of this out, such as Matthew's community, had also expected that Christ would return in their lifetime. When that didn't happen, there were all sorts of questions. when the next generation started to be born? What happens if you died before Christ came back, they wondered. Paul replies to this question, beginning in last week's Thessalonian reading and continuing today. But for Matthew's community, the question appears to be, well, what do we do while we wait? How do we live? Matthew responds with three of Jesus' parables, which we heard last week, hear this week, and we'll hear next week. What to do in the meantime? The parable of the bridesmaids last week invites us to wait with joy, trusting that the master really will come, even though it doesn't look like it. The parable of the talents today encourages the community to wait with joy and with freedom, taking risks with life. A talent, by the way, meant a large unit of money. One talent was worth about 15 years' wages. Five talents would be more than a lifetime's wage. We could take big risks. Now, there are two assumptions. There are two assumptions. I sounded like I'm Italian. There are two assumptions in this parable. First, you end up with the God you expect. Exactly. Second, God is in control in the end. I'm not, you're not, and there's nothing we can do about it. First, though, you end up with the God you expect. What we expect in the end affects, truly, how we live life day to day. If we think of God and the ending as being harsh, that God is a harsh judge, then we try to hide things. We try not to make mistakes. We become judgmental. And we're very limited in what we do in life. Then there's, and this even works when we think that God, if we don't even believe in God, if we think that a God has nothing to do with us, then we become the final judge of right and wrong in the world with our limited knowledge and experience. And we end up living either self-righteously, why can't others be or think more like me, or we end up anxious about what to trust in life for meaning and truth. However, if, like the first two slaves in the parable, we think that all good comes from a merciful master who provides far more than we need and even trusts us with what his own, well then, we live trusting God with a sense of freedom, willing to take risks. Remember, a lifetime's wage. We're that free to risk that much. You end up with the God you expect. This parable holds a mirror to us and asks us, how do you think of God? And with what sense are you living then, day to day? Life isn't guaranteed. Christ invites us to live with a sense of joy and freedom, trusting a merciful master. The other assumption in this parable, God is in control in the end, not you nor me, and there's nothing we can do about it. But first, what this parable is not about, the final judgment itself, and how that looks and happens. This parable is about waiting in this life, expecting what to expect, and so how that affects how we wait. It's not about how the end will happen. See, we'd rather this parable be about ways we could change ourselves or our life and live better. We'd rather not give up control. We'd rather be in control and have the control to change, rather than all control being God's, of evil and good and judgment. This parable reveals that God can give some people more and some people less in life. God can judge a person who lives a stingy, fearful, Scrooge-like life. He can judge that that kind of life is worthless. And isn't that a good thing? I mean, isn't a stingy, fearful life a worthless way to live? We wait, trusting that we're not in charge in the end, but that God is. Now, about that final judgment, how it will happen, who God is, there should be no surprises here. There's no waiting for a tally at the end of life. You already know your verdict: guilty and forgiven. Guilty and forgiven. You were baptized into Christ's forgiveness, joined with him by baptism into death and resurrection. I was asked recently, well, does that mean that God doesn't love people who aren't baptized? Not at all. Baptism isn't for God, it's for us. It's for our life and how we live it. God has decided for the whole human race. Baptism makes that decision of God's for us a personal part of our history, of our life, whenever it happens, as baby, as child, as adult, so that we can live life having assurance that we are beloved, that we know the end verdict, that God's decision for you isn't based on what you do or how you live your life. Again, God revealing that he has the final say, because I said so, I'm God. Now, sin and evil must go. They're harmful. They destroy. They drain all goodness and life. And they hang around us, and we hang to sin until the day we die. So that final verdict is given to us over and over in this life through the Word, so that that old, stingy, fearful creature is found guilty, seen for who he or she is, put to death for its miserly ways over and over again, so that the new creation that God has raised up in you and me by his grace through faith can trust God as we live, so that you can wait for the last day, whenever that may be, with freedom and joy, so that you can leave here this morning and go into your daily callings, trusting the Master, trusting that you are forgiven and beloved. For that is what you are, children of light, for the sake of the world. Amen.